When people do not understand that there's a difference between salvation, which is at exactly the point in time in history when you put your faith in Christ, and Christian life, which is your growth in the grace and knowledge of Christ, if they don't make that distinction, if they mix it up a little bit, you're going to have some problems not only with salvation, because the issue is it works? What do you have to do? Do you have to live a lifestyle in order to be saved? It confuses a lot of things. And then second is it deals with assurance, because a lot of people are saying, you know you're saved by looking at your lifestyle. And we've talked about that already, that that has nothing to do with it. So you want to always be clear and make that distinction between salvation and the whole idea of the Christian life and producing fruit. We know that salvation is by faith. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. We know the Christian life is a walk of faith. The object of our faith there is the Word of God, and we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Salvation is by grace. It's a gift. The Christian life is by service, and connected with Christian life is rewards. And that's a key thing that sometimes people don't always think about. As we're looking at these issues, producing fruit and, of course, being fruitful, and as we go through this, you have questions, comments, input, just raise your hand. We'll just stop whatever, and we'll deal with those kind of things. But we're seeing rewards because our goal is to hear Him say, well done, and we want to be fruitful. John 15 is a key passage. John 15, and there Jesus is telling His men how they can produce fruit. It's not dealing with salvation, but it's dealing with producing fruit. Now, notice John 15, that emphasis. He says, I'm the vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He does something so He can produce, you know, He can bear fruit, and then He can produce more fruit and much fruit and all of these different things. And so the idea there is abiding. Over and over, we've seen this. In fact, you remember that we talked about this last time, that when John writes his letters, whether it's 1 John or the Gospel of John, when he wants to talk about salvation, what is the word that he uses? What is it? To believe. When he talks about the Christian life and producing fruit and fellowship, what is the word that he uses? Abide. And so that's really the key. And so abiding and salvation are two different things. And so he's going to be talking about abiding in this chapter. In fact, look at verse 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me. Look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. So the secret or the key through this little chapter, through this little section, is abiding in Christ. And so if that's true, then here's the key. What does abiding mean? If we want to be fruitful for Jesus Christ, if we want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant, if we want to produce fruit and glorify God in our lives, as He says in John 15:8, then we abide. Well, what does that mean? And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, and that's the thing. We have seen that there are levels of fruit. Let me raise this question. Can a believer not produce fruit? Well, yes or no? Yeah, and when in John 15 it says, any branch in me that does not produce fruit, so obviously there are believers who do not produce fruit. When we looked at Mark chapter 4, which was the parable, in Mark chapter 4, there were those who received the word, but they had no root, they did not grow, the thorns and thistles choked them out, they didn't produce fruit. It's possible for you as a believer to have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and not produce fruit. It's possible. Then we said that besides there's fruit, there's people who produce fruit, there are people who produce more fruit, there are people who produce much fruit. And in that parable, it was 30, 60, and 100 fold. When you stand before Jesus Christ, how you doing? There is a servant at work right here producing fruit right now. Yeah. I bet you there'll be a sign on a bathroom in a minute that says, don't go in there, please. Okay. John 15 gives us the key. It's abiding. Let's look at it. Look at John 15. Look at verse 1 again. I'm going to go through the verses 1 and 2 fairly quickly because we touched about this last week, and then we'll get in there. And if you have a question or a comment, stop me and we'll talk about it. He says, Jesus is speaking, and He's talking to His men. This is the upper room discourse. This is His men. Right, this same night He's going to go out. They're going to arrest Him. The next morning He's going to be crucified. So this is His last time with His men. And He says, I'm the vine. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That's how He starts off. I'm the true vine. And He's using an analogy of a vine and branches. The Father is the vine dresser. The Father is the one who sent the Son down to the earth. He says, now let's pretend I'm a vine. And what are you if I'm the vine? He says, you are the branches. I'm the vine, you are branches. Now, if you're abiding in me, guess what you're going to do? Since I'm the vine and you're the branches and you abide in me, you get fruit. You'll produce fruit. Now, if you don't, you won't. And now look how he starts, because I think it's pretty powerful. Well, you remember we said that there are believers who do not produce fruit. Notice verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Some of your Bibles say lift up. Some of your Bibles say, what else do they say? I've forgotten. Lifts up, takes away. The very first part, does it say prune? Any branch of me that does not bear fruit, he does what? Huh? Cuts off. Okay, now when you see that, you go, wait a minute. And there are a lot of people who look at verse 2 and says, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And there are some people who jump to the conclusion that if it says takes away, it means that they lose their salvation. That's what some people teach. There are other people who teach it in a different way, and they say, if you don't bear fruit, you never were saved. Now he says, there are branches in him who do not produce fruit. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He's not talking about loss of salvation or anything like it. When he says takes away, it literally is the Greek word arao, which means to lift up. And we talked last week about this. And the reason I want to go over it again is because it's a little bit controversial and people sometimes look at this. It says it can mean to lift up. And we said there were two things there. It could possibly mean that when he says lift up, he means take away, lift up, as into death. That if a believer does not produce fruit, it could be that there are times that God will take them off the face of the earth. He's not talking about losing salvation. He's talking about taking them home. We see in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there were believers who had sin in their life. They were not producing fruit. They stayed in a state of sin because they were misusing the Lord's Supper, and some of them died. We see in 1 John chapter 5, it says there is a sin that leads unto what? Death. We see in Acts chapter 4, chapter 5, where Ananias and Sapphira openly in rebellion against God, they die. So it is possible for a believer with sin in their life, not producing fruit, that their heavenly Father might take them home. That's a possibility. That's maybe what it means. There's a second aspect of what it means. We talked about it last week too. When it says that he lifts up, it's that idea, just like a vine dresser, the guy who controls the vines, he'd come out and if some vines are laying on the ground, they're not producing. So he's going to lift them up so that they will begin to produce. And when he says lifts up. Now, there is a key verse that people use. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. It says, for whom the Lord loves, he does what? Does anybody remember? He chastens and scourges. I think it's King James, disciplines. The first word means to train. The second word means to take off the hide. I believe that if we're going to use this passage here and talk about discipline, that it's not discipline like training here, but I think it's actually like a punishment. It's taking off the hide. It could be that as a believer, if you are not producing fruit, it could mean that he takes you home, physical death, or it could mean that he scourges you. Now, if you've lived long enough, some of you haven't lived long enough possibly, but if you've lived long enough, you may have done some things. I can say from personal experience, after I trusted Christ as my Savior at age 19, at age 23, 24, 25, I was not living for the Lord. I had discipline. I had sin in my life. I was not producing fruit. And I'm going to tell you what he did. He scourged me. He did. I'm just telling you the truth. And I don't want to go through that again. Now, I don't know what would have happened if I hadn't dealt with sin when he scourged me. I don't know what would have happened. But I know that in my life, and some of you also can speak from experience, that if you stay in a state of sin or if you're in open rebellion against God and you're not producing fruit, it's a possibility, a good possibility, that whom the Lord loves, he not only trains you up, but he takes your hide off. And all that whole picture is in Hebrews 12 is a picture of a father disciplining his son. That's what it says. It says, what father does not discipline his earthly son? So what heavenly father would not discipline his own heavenly children, so to speak? And that means when sometimes in our lives we do things wrong and we stay and move away from God and we're not producing fruit, it could mean that he wears us out. Now, none of you want to go through that, I'll tell you that. If you're not gone through it, hadn't gone through it, don't do that. You don't want to be verse 2. Any branch of me that does not produce fruit, he lifts up, takes away, cuts off. Now, I don't think cut off is the best translation. I don't think it is, because he's not saying he cuts off. It literally says he lifts up. Now, whether it means lifts up to take with him, whether it lifts up for scourging, lifts up for whatever, that's part one. We talked about that last week. Does anybody have any questions about that whole issue? It's a pretty tough issue. I know the Bible teaches that when you as a child of God are in open rebellion against your Heavenly Father will not let you get away with that. There's just not any doubt about that. Just like a regular earthly mom and daddy, when their children are in open rebellion, they usually, now we're not perfect like the Heavenly Father, but usually we will not let our children get away with open rebellion. Sometimes we do. God, the Heavenly Father, will not. He's the perfect Father, and He loves you more than you can imagine. Okay, questions, comments before we go a little bit further? Yeah, Matt.
Jamie, since your wife is your witness, you know, before men and not before God, mm-hmm. is there any idea that if you wouldn't deal with your sin at some point in time, that He would kill you or take you home?
Say that again now.
Is there any idea that if you wouldn't deal with your sin, even after being chased and scourged, that He would take you
home? I think as he asked, if you don't deal with your sin after He scourges you, so to speak, is there a possibility that He would take you home? I think that's the ultimate possibility. You see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 John chapter 5 talks about sinning unto death. And we see Ananias and Sapphira. And I know that was early in the church. And they lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit, lied to God, and lied to a lot of people. And they died immediately. And, of course, if God was still doing that today, how many of us would still be here for lying? But, I believe that as a believer, when the Heavenly Father disciplines us, then scourges us, His whole plan is to keep us, get us back growing. If we don't ultimately respond, I think there is possibilities that He could take you home. That's what it says in 1 John 5 and what we see in 1 Corinthians 11. That help? It's pretty powerful. Yeah.
Is that the only reason that one would be abiding is because of sin, or is there any other thing that would keep us from abiding
in Christ? Okay, it's a great point. He says, is what stops us from abiding sin? Well, sometimes when you think about sin, there are two aspects of sin. There's sins of commission and sins of omission. Sins of commission are the things that you do wrong. You know they're wrong. We call those open sins that way. There are also sins of omission, which are things that you should do that you don't do. Study the Word of God. Share your faith. There are a lot of people who say, I'm not doing anything wrong. However, they are not doing a lot of things they're supposed to do, and those are sins as well. So sometimes things that don't necessarily look like sin are really not doing what God tells us to do. So I think since abiding has the idea of fellowship, I think the thing that breaks our fellowship is sin one way or the other, whether it's commission or omission. So I think ultimately it's sin that breaks that fellowship. Anything else? Okay, let's look at second thing. Here's what he says. He says, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up, takes away, disciplines, whatever we want to say. And then every branch that bears fruit, oh, here's some bearing fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. Now, there, that's powerful there. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Now, the word prune, you know what it means? Means to cleanse. That's literally the Greek word to cleanse. Now we think about pruning, and if you ever had tomatoes or things like that, you go out and you pull off all the stuff, do you prune it so it can grow? Because if it keeps everything there, it won't grow as well. And the vines, they'd lift them up and they would prune them and they would do that. The idea there, he's saying, when you're producing fruit, I'm going to prune you, cleanse you, so that you can do what? More fruit. Notice what he says. Every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. I think the pruning aspect is the Hebrews 12:6, the first part, when it says, for whom the Father, you know, whom the Father loves, he chastens every child he receives. The word chasten there just means to train up. I think he does whatever it takes in a good way, not as a punishment way, not in a way because you've got sin in your life, because you're producing fruit. You're trying to live for the Lord. I think he brings things into your life, pruning you, cleansing you, so that you can go to the next level. And we've all seen that in your life. There are things in your lives that are not sin, but sometimes there are things that you say, you know, this is not wrong in itself, but it's not helping me grow and go on to be a faithful believer. And there are things that we remove. There are hobbies that we have. There are things that we watch. There are things we just say, you know what? This is not helping me. And I think that when he says here, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. I think that's the idea there. Let me read something to you because it's pretty powerful from Hebrews. It's the same passage I've been reading. Listen to what he says about the whole idea of this discipline. What's it for? We'd say, what's this pruning for? In Hebrews chapter 12, he says, for if your father disciplines his children, we have an earthly father who disciplines us. We respected them. Should we not much more be subject to our heavenly father? And then he goes on and says, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. And discipline was for our good. And his discipline is so that we can have his holiness. He goes on to say, all discipline for the moment is not joyful, but sorrowful. Yet those who have been trained by it afterwards, notice this, it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness. I think his point is, sometimes as we begin to grow and we begin to produce fruit, God is going to deal with our lives in such a way that will help us produce more fruit. There may be things that come to our mind, things that we need to change, things that we need to remove. Remember Hebrews chapter 12 when it says, seeing we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, anything that's slowing us down so that we can go on to maturity. I know in my life, when God dealt with me, I listened to him, and I began to grow as a Christian, and I began to produce some fruit. But you know what he did? He began to work in my life and prune me so that I began to say, hey, you know, this I used to think this was so important. It's not important, and this isn't either. And you know, this that I'm doing here is not that it's wrong in itself. It's just not helping me go on to maturity. And so I think sometimes in our lives, as you begin to grow as a Christian, he's going to do things in your life helping you so you can move on, as you'd say, to the next level of growth and maturity. And notice what he says. He prunes it so that you can bear more fruit. Let me ask you this. From experience, do you guys know what we're talking about? Yes or no? Yeah, you've all been through this. As you started to grow, let me tell you, you put your faith in Christ, and for most of us, you put your faith in Christ, and maybe you, for a little bit, you were kind of fired up, and then you just kind of went through life, and maybe you were part one there, where you're just not doing much. And God begins to get your attention, and so you begin to start living for Him, and you begin to grow, and then God begins to do things in your life that's going to cause you, in a sense, to say, hey, I used to think that was important, but it's not. I want to go on to the next thing. And so that's what he does. Now, watch how he talks to his men. In verse 2 again, he says, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, lifts up, scourges, whatever. Every branch that bears fruit, what does he do? He prunes it. He cleanses it so it can bear even more fruit. And then he goes and he's talking to his guys. And look what he says. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Now, he's using a different term. He says, by the way, you men, you know that you're all clean spiritually. He's talking about salvation. He says, because of the message that I've given you. They had believed in him as Savior. Then, here is the key, because he's going to get to the part that's going to make the difference. Watch. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, he's right there. He says, now here's the secret to this whole thing. You're going to have to abide in me. See, as just a branch is never going to be able to produce fruit unless it's unless it's connected to the vine, then and as long as it's abiding in the vine, it's going to produce fruit. But if it's not, it doesn't. That's the same for you. You want to produce fruit, you're going to have to be connected with Christ. And we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about fellowship. We're talking about that whole idea of abiding in a close relationship, fellowship with Him. It's pretty powerful. He says, abide in me and I in you. That's got to have that fellowship, because as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, it's just impossible. Unless it abides in the vine, it's got to be connected to get that source. So neither can you unless you abide in me. Can you do anything apart from Jesus Christ? Absolutely nothing. In Christ you can do what? All things. That's the way it works. That takes us to verse 5. And this is where we've gone from no fruit to fruit to more fruit. How do we get much fruit? Look what he says. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. This continual abiding. In fact, the way it's written in the Greek is, he who continues to abide in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. And then he makes it very clear. See, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do a thing. And so in the sense that we see no fruit and fruit and more fruit and much fruit, we see no fruit because we're not producing anything, we're not having any fellowship, and then we begin to grow because He deals with us and we produce fruit, and then He begins to deal with us and prune us and we bring more fruit, and then as we abide in Him and He abides in us and it's a continual fellowship with Him, we can produce much fruit because apart from Him, we can produce absolutely nothing. What does it mean to abide? Look at verse 10, John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. What's the secret to abiding and maintaining your fellowship? What is it? It's obedience, isn't it? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is how you show that you belong to me and you're my disciples, by your love one for another. Over and over, the issue there is how do you produce fruit? You produce fruit as you abide in Him. As you abide in Him, you abide in Him as you take the truths of God's Word, live them out in your lives. Our relationship is eternal. Our fellowship is temporal. When you trust in Christ as Savior, you have an eternal relationship with Him. It will never change. But you have a temporal fellowship with Him. If you abide in Him, you're in fellowship with Him, you're going to produce fruit. You may produce fruit, more fruit, much fruit. If you are not abiding in Him, you are not in fellowship with Him. That means there's some kind of sin in your life. You're not going to produce fruit because apart from Him, you can do nothing. So you say to yourself, I want to be faithful for Christ and I want to produce fruit and I want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. What are you going to have to do? What are you going to have to do? Abide in Him. And how do you abide? You live your life based on the truths of the Word of God. That's what you do. And you maintain that fellowship. That is the key. We live in the power of the Holy Spirit day in, day out, walking worthy of the calling. Now, look at verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified. How? That you bear much fruit. Do you want to bring glory to our great God and Savior? Do we? Then how are we going to do that? We produce much fruit. How do we produce much fruit? Abide in Him, He abides in us. How do we abide? We keep His commandments. We live by the Word of God. And when it says commandments, don't think Mosaic law. We've never been under the Mosaic law. We're talking about what's called the law of Christ. We're talking about the New Testament commandments that Jesus Christ taught. So don't get this idea of some kind of legalistic Mosaic law system that you live. Christian life is not lived by a law or a rules. It's lived by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit as you maintain your fellowship and your relationship with Jesus Christ, with Him. That's the first bell. Let's stop for just a second. There's something I want you to see. Look again at verse 8. Remember, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple. There are some people, and we talked about this at the very beginning of the study, people will say that when you produce fruit, it proves you are a what? Some people say you're a Christian. No, it doesn't. It proves you're a disciple. It proves you're a disciple. So let me remind you of this, and we'll stop for some questions here with the time remaining. There are those who produce no fruit. They're not in fellowship. They let the cares of the world stop them. They have no root. They've not grown. God's plan is to lift them up, whether that means take them home, whether that means discourage them, whatever it takes, I think your Heavenly Father is going to do if you're not producing fruit. Then there are those who produce fruit. That's like the 30-fold, and the goal is to keep on producing. But what He does is He prunes us. He cleanses us. He removes things from our lives that may be slowing us down. And that's why I think the writer of the Hebrews says, listen, instead of Him doing it, won't you do it? Lay aside everything that's going to slow you down, because one way or the other, He's going to get that out of your life that's slowing you down. And as you begin to produce fruit, He says the whole plan is so that you'll produce more fruit. And the more fruit, people are those who are leading people to Christ and growing. And then the key thing is to maintain your fellowship. Abide in Him, and He abides in you. And if you do that, you will produce much fruit. You go from 0 to 30 to 60 to 100-fold. From no fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. You go from sin in your life and God dealing with you to begin to produce, to God cleansing you to begin to produce more fruit. And as you continually abide in Him and the fellowship with Him, you produce much fruit. Now, is that what we want? You know, it's an amazing concept because most people never even look at John 15. They talk about it because it's a good passage. Jesus talked about it the night before, and they just say, hey, you need to abide in Jesus. But nobody knows what that means. Live by the Word of God. Know the truth of the Scripture. Maintain your fellowship. Walk worthy of the calling you've been called. Live according to the truths and principles found in God's Word. Now, let me give you two or three quick applications and we'll open up for questions. One is, realize that the goal is to produce fruit and to glorify God in our lives. Number two, remember God wants you to produce fruit. That's why He says, if you're not producing fruit, I'm going to do this. And as you're producing fruit, I'm going to do this. And I want you to ultimately abide in me so you can produce much fruit. And so the goal is, may we abide in Him so we can produce much fruit. Let's pray and we'll open up for any questions, comments that you have. Next week, we're going to see why should you do it. There's a negative and a positive on why you should produce fruit. Because some people say, hey, it doesn't matter. I'm going to heaven anyway, right? I have eternal life by faith. What does it matter if I ever produce fruit? Aren't we all going to be there rocking back and forth having a good time? Right? That's what they say. Dear Heavenly Father, we think about these truths. May we abide in You and You in us so that we can produce much fruit. We know, Lord, that those who don't produce fruit, You deal with. And as we begin to produce fruit, You prune us. And as we begin to produce more fruit, You want us to continually abide in with You so we can produce much fruit. You get all the glory. And it proves that we belong to You as disciples. Lord, thank You for these truths. May each one of us in this room continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. May we abide in You so that we can produce much fruit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, questions, comments, because we still got, I think, maybe just a little bit of time. Any question, comment about any of this so far? Yeah, Matt?
Sorry. Along with the idea of producing fruit, it's really easy to get thinking about the idea of rewards.
Yeah.
If I would give us any indication what those things might be specifically.
What the rewards might be?
No, what we might do to produce fruit or get rewards.
What we might do? Okay. His question is, what must we do to produce fruit or get rewards? Well, we've already seen in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, run the race that you may get the prize. Running the race of the Christian life is living your life in the power of the Holy Spirit, abiding in Christ, doing the things that He has for us to do, which is making disciples. That's the bottom line. And there will be rewards and fruit produced and rewards from that. So I think it's basically living what we just call the basic Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, doing the things that He's called us to do, walking worthy of the calling. Does that help? I mean, we could get real specific, studying the Bible, leading people to Christ, teaching the Word, using your gifts, talents, and abilities, showing mercy, and you know, all that stuff. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. And there's going to come a time, we're going to talk about it next week. There's going to come a time when you will stand before your Savior to be rewarded based on how you lived your life. Did you produce any fruit? Based on how you produce fruit, you're going to stand before Him and He will reward you. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, because He says, look at the verse. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them in fire and they're burned. Does that sound like going to hell? Sounds like it, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about loss of rewards. And we'll see that. So don't read the next verse and think, uh-oh. Just think, uh-oh, I might lose rewards. I might not have any. Everything might be burned up when I stand before my Savior.